It's good to be back in church, and I think that I shouldn't be sick the rest of 2022. I've had my share of sickness. At least that's what I'm praying for. Thank you so much for your prayers, your texts, and appreciate that so much, and it means a lot. And just thankful to be feeling better. Still got a little bit of congestion, not much, but I've had that for about a month, and so it's probably allergies, and so that's probably not going to go away. But thank the Lord for our health, amen. Thank you, Brother Justin, for preaching Sunday and last Wednesday, and amen. Appreciate the messages. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching on a subject that brings different responses. And one of the responses that's pretty common is that there's feelings of guilt. And maybe because of a struggle in this area of your Christian life. And then others, there might be a sense of pride or even feelings of superiority, because maybe you're doing well in this area of your Christian life. But my aim tonight is to encourage. And so both of those other responses, those are wrong responses to what I'm about to preach on. And my goal in my heart tonight is just to encourage you by reminding you who God is. And you may be saying, well, what are you even talking about, Pastor? What's the subject tonight? Well, to relieve a little bit of that suspense, I'll give you my title for the night. I'm going to be preaching on the God who hears prayer. The God who hears prayer. The Lord has led me this week to meditate in Psalm 65, which is our psalm for the week in our Abide Bible reading. I don't know if you looked at that psalm this week, but I feel like the Lord led me to preach from this passage tonight instead of our passage in Psalm 119. Because we're going to be praying tonight. We're going to be spending a little bit of time at the end of the service praying for our campers. And so I want to encourage each and every one of you to be fervent and diligent in prayer. And one of the greatest motivations is to be reminded of this truth. It's a very simple truth. That God hears prayer. God hears prayer. I mean, I know it's not really profound, but yet it is profound. It's a profound truth, really. It's simple but yet profound, because to think about Almighty God, as great as He is, that He would hear our prayers, that He would listen attentively, that He would listen with understanding, with concern. Before we read the text in Psalm 65, I want to make a statement that's probably going to catch your attention, but it's a true statement, and I mean it with all my heart. The focus of our Christian life is not to be prayer. And you're like, what? I'll say it again. The focus of our Christian life is not to be prayer. I know that's kind of shocking to hear, but I want to share with you what our focus should be. Our focus should be on the God who hears prayer. Our focus is not on prayer. Our focus is on God. That should be our focus tonight, is not on prayer itself. We don't pray for the sake of prayer. We pray to the God who hears prayer. We pray for the God who answers prayer. You know, some Christians can, you know, treat prayer kind of like a magic wand that you wave up before God. And so they pray vain repetition day after day. But that's not the focus. The focus should be on God. You know, some Christians will make much of prayer, but let's make much of God who hears prayer. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not in any way minimizing prayer. I'm just trying to shift your perspective and your focus of prayer, that it should be on the God who hears prayer. Because I think of what Jesus, I was meditating on what Jesus taught about prayer in Matthew 6, and we're not going to turn there, but remember he was warning about the hypocrites. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't go praying to be seen of men. You know, some people use prayer for selfish reasons. And then he went on to talk about the heathen. Don't be like the heathen. Don't pray all these vain repetitions that they're thinking by their much speaking they're going to be heard. But he said, but thou, go thou into thy closet in secret and talk to your father. I'm just paraphrasing, but that's what he basically said. He said, go talk to your father. That's relationship. He talks about relationship. Prayer is not some magic thing that we do. And some Christians, they only pray because, well, that's what we're supposed to do. But it's all about relationship with our Father. You know, Jesus, when he taught the model prayer, what did he say? Our Father which art in heaven. You know, it's to be addressed to our Father. And it's all about that relationship with our Father. And he said, hallowed be thy name. You know, there's a sense of awe and reverence as we enter into the presence of God. And so prayer should not be just treated as another religious duty. It should be something that we're focused on God who hears our prayers. Let's read Psalm 65. I'm not going to take the time to read the whole psalm, but I do want to read the first 8 verses in this psalm. Psalm 65, verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and under thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, under thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou enter us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are far off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. Coming back to verse 2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight being reminded of a powerful truth, a wonderful truth, that you're the God that hears prayer. Lord, that should stir us to want to come into your presence, to spend time with you, to talk to you about others that need your intervention in their lives. Because you're a God that hears prayer. Lord, we should be motivated to pray for our country that's so divided. Lord, for so many people that are blinded by sin, that cannot see the truth So many people that need their eyes open to see the truth of Christ. God, help us to be encouraged tonight to pray often and pray more and pray fervently, pray diligently, pray in faith, because you are a God that hears our prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. Pray, God, that this message would be a help and encouragement. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say this is a community psalm of thanksgiving. Verse 9 through 13 talks a lot about God's goodness and giving rain and giving crops and giving food and providing for the needs. And so it's a thanksgiving psalm, but this psalm is packed with truth that can help fuel our prayer life. And that's what we're going to focus on tonight, because I want to just say, you may be going through a season in your prayer life that it might seem like a dying ember that needs to be flamed with the fans of the Holy Spirit. I've been there and done that in my Christian life many times. Many times there's been trials, there's been distractions, there's been discouragements where prayer was hard, where prayer was not as fervent. Life can have an ill effect upon our prayer lives. We can get discouraged to the point where we're even asking ourselves, what's wrong with me? And I just want to say that if you are there, if you've been there, I want you to know that that's just a part of the normal Christian life. Don't be discouraged in giving up. You know, we're in a spiritual warfare. And the enemy, the devil, he knows very well that if he can disrupt our communication with our commander-in-chief, then he has defeated us. So I want you to think about that, that prayer is not easy. Prayer is going to always be a struggle. There's always going to be seasons in life that may disrupt sweet times of prayer. Even Paul, when he was speaking about the sufferings of this present time in Romans 8, in verse 18, he went on in verse 26 to say, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, but we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I want to just remind you, God is for us, and God helps us in our infirmities. Praise God. And praise God for passages like this where he encourages us when we don't feel like praying, when we feel like we're failing in the area of prayer, when we're struggling in seasons of mourning and sackcloth. I was reminded Sunday, and I got the text for the prayer meeting Sunday, and I didn't get to go, but Psalm 30, and I love verse 5 where it says, for his anger endureth but a moment. We need to remember that these seasons are temporary. It says, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And he goes on in verse 11 and says, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. So I say all that to say that there's struggles in the Christian life. There's times that we're going to struggle with this area of prayer. But tonight, as we look at Psalm 65, we have a fresh reminder of who God is and the awesome privilege we have to draw near to him. In verse 1, David describes a wonderful picture. This idea that praise is waiting for God. Praise is waiting to be given to God in Jerusalem. The sense is that when God came to meet with his people, he would be received in this atmosphere of praise and adoration and worship and thanksgiving with songs and hymns of praise. Why is that? Because God is worthy to be praised. Praise is waiting for God. It's waiting for him. But I want to just answer a quick question before we go to verse 2. And who is this God? Oh God. Praise waiting for thee, oh God. Well, the answer is in verse 5. In the middle of that verse, it says, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea. He's speaking about the God of our salvation. This is who he's talking about. I like how you describe God as the one who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea. He's the confidence. And I looked up this. This is a noun, by the way. The word confidence is a noun. And it has this idea of a refuge, an object of confidence, that is. An object of trust or assurance. It's describing God as an object of confidence, an object of trust, an object of refuge for all the ends of the earth and them that are far off upon the sea. You see, God is not just a God of salvation to Israel, but he's a God of salvation to all that will call upon him. You know, it kind of reminds me, I was trying to remember where the verse was. I looked it up before church, and it's in Acts 2. And verse 39, and this is what it says, for the promise is unto you and to your children. And this Peter's preaching this to Israel, okay? He's preaching that to Jews at Jerusalem. So for the promise is unto you and your children. But notice this, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That afar off, it kind of just reminded me of that verse, because in our text, them that are far off upon the sea, all the ends of the earth, God is their confidence. He's the refuge. He's the God of salvation. If you've trusted him, that's the God we're talking about. We're talking about your God here. He is worthy of praise. But as we come to this second verse, David moves from God's worthiness to the fact that he hears our prayers. I want to say that. God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers. O thou that hearest prayer. And I was looking up the verb hearest, and it literally means that God attentively listens with understanding and gives heed to our prayers. Just looking at all the different words that describe this Hebrew word here, there's understanding there, there's attention there, there's desire there. And so I want you to think about this. God attentively listens with understanding and gives heed to our prayers. What a powerful motivation. I mean, just let that soak in. God is a God who gives attention to our prayers. Amen. The word prayer here is a word for supplication, or a word for intercession. You know, there are different kinds of prayer. There's prayers of thanksgiving. There's prayers of confession. There's prayers of adoration, worship. There's prayers of supplication and intercession. And here it tends to point to supplication, intercession. God hears when we supplicate for others, when we intercede on behalf of others, when we pray for those teens that are going to camp and those counselors and that are going to camp. Listen, God hears those prayers. That should encourage us not to give up in praying. O thou that hearest prayer. unto thee shall all flesh come. It's almost like a prophecy, unto thee all flesh. He's talking about people here, all people coming to God. And you see today people from all over the world, from afar off, people from every nation, tribe, and tongue, people are coming to Christ. People are coming to this God, to the throne of grace, and praying to this God because He's a God that hears prayer. You know, I was looking at the verbs in these verses, and the verb in verse 2 is hears. So God hears. But then we see in verse 3, God purges our sins away. Isn't that good? He said, iniquities prevail against me. David was saying, this perversity that's in me is prevailing against me. It's strong. It's overpowering me. But he says, as for our transgressions, transgressions speak of rebellion against God. He says, thou shalt purge them away. And this word purge is the word kafar, meaning a covering or atonement, meaning that God atones for our transgressions. So God hears prayer. God purges our sins away. Verse 4, God causes us to approach unto Him. That verb causeth. Causeth to approach unto thee. Blessed is the man thou chooseth and causeth to approach unto thee. In other words, God is the one that draws us to Himself. God is the one that invites us to prayer. God is the one that invites us to His presence. My mind keeps going to Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 10, where it talks about the throne of grace, about let us draw near, where God is taking the initiative and He's drawing us, and He chose us. We've not chosen Him, the Bible says in John 15. He's chosen us. And He's caused us to draw near. So think about this. God hears prayer. God purges our sins away. God causes us to approach or draw near to Him. And then verse 5, God answers us. By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. Now this word terrible, by terrible things, he's talking about things that inspire reverence, things that inspire godly fear or awe of God, where you just stand back in awe of what God did. That's the kind of God we have. He answers in terrible things. We might say He answers in awesome things. You know, I love the expression of the deaf when they would sign awe. I mean, sometimes I just go, you know, it's just like awe on what God did. This is so amazing. That's what it's talking about here. By terrible things and in righteousness will thou answer us. Do you know it's a righteous thing for God to answer us? Because we come through Jesus. We come by faith in His Word. We come at His invitation. It's righteous for God to hear us. It's righteous for God to answer us. So look at this picture that David's painting of our God. Remember, that's our focus. It's not prayer tonight. Our focus is on the God who hears our prayers. Notice this picture he paints of God. He's our refuge. God is one who is worthy of praise. God is one who hears prayer, our prayers. God is one who forgives our sins. He is one who draws us near to Him. He is one who answers us. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful motivation to pray. If you're discouraged about prayer life, your prayer life, this should encourage you. Just to think that God wants you to come and talk to Him. He wants you to know that He's going to listen. You know, I remember when my kids were teenagers, a lot of times they didn't want to come and talk. And a lot of times it's because in their mind, well, Dad just don't understand. And sometimes I didn't. I know now, you know, at the time I'm thinking, oh, I understand everything with her. I was a teenager once. But later I understood there's a lot of things I didn't understand. Well, I'm thankful God does.
Amen.
We can talk to Him. Sometimes I wouldn't give attention like I should. I'd be busy maybe reading a book or doing something, and my kid was going to talk, but they didn't have my attention. How many times have you tried to talk to someone and you didn't have their attention? You wanted to just sit down and talk, but they would not give you their time or attention. But think about God. He is a God who is attentively listening to our prayers with understanding.
Amen.
A God who hears prayer. I mean, we're talking about the God that's enthroned in heaven. We're talking about the God that's sovereign over all the nations of the world today, including our nation. The God who's all-knowing, all-powerful, the God who's all-holy, He listens when you pray. He listens. He stops. It listens. Now, none of this could be possible without Jesus Christ to open for us a new and living way by His sacrifice on the cross. Hebrews 10, verse 19 through 25. But there's something that, as I was studying this concept, that God hears us. I was reading what some others had to say about this, and I was surprised that there were some that believe that this is actually an attribute of God. God who hears prayer. And I thought, an attribute, like, you know, an attribute would be like God is righteous, God is merciful, God is holy, God is all-knowing, all-powerful, God is all present with us. You know those attributes. God is love. God is jealous. I mean, we could go through all these lists of characteristics of God and His attributes. But there's a writer that even included this in his book. The wonderful. He didn't use attributes. What did he use? The wonderful. Something like that. Attributes of our wonderful Lord. And he included this very verse in his book. And I thought, it is a part of God's character. It is who He wants to be known by. He wants us to know Him as the God who hears. The God who hears prayer. Whether this is an attribute or not, I don't know, but I do know this. This very truth right here. Every attribute of God is implied in it. I want you to think about it. Just stop and think with me for just a minute. O thou that hearest prayer. And when you look at the context, all flesh, and you look at where all the ends of the earth, them that are far off, we're not talking about just people that were there in the temple of Jerusalem praying before His presence, but we're talking about people all over the world. He hears. That implies God is living, does it not? Now, the idols that are all around the world of stone and wood that men have carved out, they have eyes, but they can't see. They have nose, but they can't smell. They have mouths, but they can't speak. They have ears, but they can't hear. But yet those people pray to those idols. I think about the story in 1 Kings 18 when that match between the priest of Baal and Elijah praying fire down from heaven. Whoever sent fire down, whoever's God sent fire down and consumed the sacrifice first was the God. And the Baal worshippers were crying out all day, praying and crying and praying and crying, and nothing happened. But then Elijah said, bring the water. And they're in a drought. Bring the water. I want you to dig pits around the sacrifice here, the altar. I want you to fill these pits up. with water. Well, Elijah, we're in a drought. We don't have much water. Fill him up. And he prayed. Fire came down and consumed it all. This truth tells us that God is a living God. He's not a God of an idol of wood or stone. It tells us that God, who hears prayer, is an all-knowing God. I mean, how else could he hear and answer all the prayers of all of his people, that of all these different nations and tribes and languages spread out all over the world that are praying to him day and night? How can God say that he hears prayer unless he is all-knowing God? Unless he is an all-present God. He'd have to be everywhere present to be able to hear. When you go in your closet, your private place, and you pray to your Father in secret, and he hears you and he rewards you publicly, as Jesus said, listen, that's the omniscience of God. That's the omnipresence of God. How else could he know whether your prayer is a prayer of faith if he wasn't omniscient? You know, this implies he's an all-powerful God, because think about it. If someone's praying for rain, God would have to be all-powerful to be able to send rain. If they're praying for crops, good crops, he'd have to be able to control the sun, the wind, the rain, the very life that's in the seed. If you're praying for healing, he would have to be able to control every cell in your body, have the power to do that. If you're praying for revival, then he would have to have the power to have influence upon a person's soul. I mean, think of what we read in Joshua just not long ago. In Joshua 10, Joshua prayed for the sun to stand still, and it stood still for about a day. That's a God that hears prayer. That's a God that is all-powerful. So whether this is an attribute or not, I don't know, but it does support every attribute of God. Only a God who is God can hear prayer of all people, including you and me. A God that hears prayer it supports his attribute of mercy, being a merciful God. Because I don't know that any one of us here tonight would deserve for God to hear our prayers. None of us would deserve God to answer our prayers. We're sinners. We come short all the time. But yet, he says, O thou that hearest prayer. God's mercy, God's love is boundless. I hope that this would be a help and encouragement. Amen. That God, who is infinitely worthy to be praised, he hears the weak and finite prayers of his people. And he answers by terrible things in righteousness. Why? Because he's the God of our salvation. He's the God who delivers us. He's the God who rescues us. He's the God who answers us. So if God is a God who hears and answers prayer, then we should pray with fervency. If we're discouraged, we should be encouraged. If we're proud, we should be humbled. That God would hear our prayers and care. You know, God never commanded us to sing without ceasing. He never commanded us to preach without ceasing, to give without ceasing, to work without ceasing, but he did command us to pray without ceasing. And he wants us to know that he's the God who hears prayer. He hears prayer. I still can't get over it. I mean, it's a simple truth. I've known this truth. We all, by faith, accept this truth. But sometimes we can go through trials in life, and we need to be reminded that God has a listening ear, and that He will give attention to our hearts as we pour out our hearts to Him. He will listen and answer us, because He is God. He is our God. He is our Father. Father, tonight we come to You. We thank You for this very simple truth, yet profound. Though You are high and holy, though You are omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, God, You are full of grace and mercy, that You would hear our prayer. And it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of what He did for us. All because of His sacrifice that opened for us that new and living way to come in Your presence and draw near and come boldly before Your throne of grace. Thank You tonight, Lord, just for reminding us, that a fresh reminder that You hear our prayers. That our prayers shouldn't be just vain repetition. We shouldn't just pray just because it's what we're supposed to do. But Lord, and I, help us to think about the relationship. That we're coming to a God who cares, a God who understands us, a God who created us, a God who redeemed us with His own blood. A God that desires our best. A God whose will for our life is good and acceptable and perfect. God, help us to come in Your presence tonight as we pray for our campers. Help us to come in the same spirit and attitude that Jesus taught us to pray. An attitude of awe and reverence, worship. An attitude of submission to Your will. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. An attitude of humility, an attitude of faith. As we know, without faith it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Lord, You are a rewarder. You do hear and answer prayer of those that come by faith and diligently seek You. So God, help us tonight to be encouraged in our time of prayer. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.